It's a Schlissen and honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And as we all know, this week's Parsha is Parshas Emor. Unfortunately, last Motzei Shabbos, my grandmother, Liba Bas Moshe Eliezer Halevi, passed away. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to do the regular Parsha Shir, ask a couple questions, and come out with that major Yesod. But we're going to intertwine it with my grandmother, my Bobby, her life, and what she meant to me and to the family. And then we'll answer all these questions of the Parsha. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe emor el Akwanim bnei Aaron v'yamarta lehem lenefesh lo yitamo b'amot. The Torah tells us in Perek of Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Hashem says to Moshe emor el Akwanim, say to the Kwanim bnei Aaron, v'yamarta, and say to them, alehem lenefesh lo yitamo b'amot, that you're not allowed to become impure amongst anyone amongst the nation. Says Rashi, famous Rashi, the first Rashi, Emor el Akwanim, Emor v'amarta. Why is it saying Emor amarta? It's saying it so many times. Says Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Yevamos, Kuf Yedalim and Aleph, Lahazir Gedolim al Kitanim. In order to, the Gedolim, the adults, should forewarn, Alakitanim, they should watch the minors. And the obvious question that all the Achronim ask, that if you look at the Pasuk, it doesn't seem that it's talking about two different people. It says, and more Ela Kohanim, speak to the Kohanim, Bnei Aaron, Ve'amarta Aleihem. It seems that we're speaking only about the Bnei Aaron, not about the children of the Kohanim, but only about the Kohanim. Furthermore, why is this drasha that the gedolim, that an adult has to watch his child and he has to make sure that he's going to be pure, why is that only by Kohanim? It's the Gemara's talk about in Nedarim in different places about so many things that the gedolim have to watch their children that could be applied to other things. And furthermore, why is it Amar? We know that Amar is Lashon Racha, is soft language. Later on, when it's talking about, again, the beginning of the Parsha talks about the Kohanim. I like this Parsha, Makayin. But it talks about all the things that a Kohen can't become Tamei, and different things that he's not allowed. The next Pasuk in Pasuk K, a couple Pasukim later, Lo Yikarcha Karcha Berosham, he's not allowed to make a bald spot on his head. Upat Sekhanim Lo Yigalchu, and he can't shave the edge of his beard. All these different halachas, and then it says that when it's talking about that he's not allowed, if he's a baal mum, it says the lashon of vayidaber, vayidaber Hashem. Vayidaber is lashon chazak. Why that lashon? What's this all about? Then we know that we're in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer, and guess what? This week's parasha is Sfiras HaOmer. So we're going to ask a question about that, and it's not even so from left field, because it's this week's parasha. The Torah tells us in Perek of Gimel, when we're talking about the Moadim, it talks about Sfiras HaOmer. And it says that Mimokras HaShabbos, as we spoke about last week, we spoke about the Machlokas between the Sedukim and the Perushim, we were talking about when you have to light the Ketores, right? We remember little Chazara. But over here it says that when you get into Eretz Yisrael, Hashani no same lachem uksirachem eksira v'avesem et omer reishis ksirachem el hakoyim. That you need to bring the omer. Rashi says, what's omer? Omer is asiras ha'efa, a tenth of an efa. Kach hayashema. This was its name. Why in the world? Yes, we are bringing the carbon HaOmer, and it's a barley carbon But why? Why is it called Sviras HaOmer? That's such a strange name. What's that all about? For maybe call Sviras Matan Torah. Why is it called Sviras HaOmer? Furthermore, the Rambam Paskins LaHalacha. We know the Sugyas in Menachos and Daf Samach Vav talk about if Sviras HaOmer is Doraisa, Derabbanan. The Rishonim talk about that, if it's Doraisa, Derabbanan. But seemingly, a person would say that Sviras HaOmer, since it's linked to the Karban HaOmer, and nowadays we don't have the Karban, so therefore you would say that the mitzvah nowadays is only Derabbanan. And that is the Shita of Tosfos, that is Shita of most of the Rishonim. However, comes along the Halig HaRambam, and he says that Sviras HaOmer is a Doraisa. But we don't have Karban HaOmer anymore. If we don't have Karban HaOmer, then why is Sviras HaOmer a Doraisa? We'll call that the Sviras HaOmer. And furthermore, we'll say 2B, even though I threw in a little couple more questions there, and I saw that. Maybe you saw that also. I saw that because I'm going to say it. It makes sense. But question 2B and a half, 2C, is there's a famous chinuch. The chinuch tells us a mitzvah Shin Vav, the mitzvah of Sviras HaOmer. And he asks the obvious question that a lot of people, that a lot of Rishonim ask, is why, whenever you're excited for something, you usually count down. Right? I don't want to say the day, because maybe I'm not going to say the day what it is today. But, right, you go 49, 48, 47, 46, you're counting down. Right? When you're waiting for your yichasiner, you're like, oh, I'm 20 days away, I'm 19 days away. When you're waiting for something, you usually count down. And in Sviras HaOmer, we all know, I hope we do, hopefully we're all still in the counting game, we count up. Says the Halig HaChinuch, because we're getting to the Torah. Okay. Shkoyach. How does that answer the question? Yes, Sviras HaOmer is the counting to the Torah, Shavuos. But how does that tell me why we're counting up? Okay. That was question two, section two. A lot of questions there. And lastly, again, we're talking about the Mo'adim. There's a very famous Torah. The Torah tells me in Simen Tuf Yud Zayin, normally we know the Torah is a halacha sefer. The Torah takes the Gemaras and goes to halacha, one of the Gedolei Rishonim, the Torah. And very fascinating, the Torah in Tuf Yud Zayin quotes a famous Medrash in the beginning of his halacha, in the Mo'adim. And he says that Pesach is all the holidays represented by the Avos. Pesach is Avraham. Yitzchak is represented by Shavuos, and Sukkot is represented by Yaakov. And again, he brings Sukkim to support it. That Avram, that he brought Ugos, and Rashi says that's talking about Matzah. Interesting. And Yitzchak, by when we're talking about the aisle, when instead of offering Yitzchak as a carbon, he brought a different, and that's the aisle that we blow for Mount Torah. And by Sukkot, is it says that Yaakov Yeshu B'Sukkot. Okay. But I want to know, is there a deeper message here? Is there, again, we know we're talking about the Mo'adim, we talk about Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, and we have this Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Is there a deeper message? So again, let's just guys are over a lot of you. So this, again, Parshas Emor. And the first question, again, was, it says, Amor v'amarto, and Amor v'amarto, it says it twice. And the obvious question is, why is it, it's talking about just the Kohen? Why are you telling me Amor v'amarto is talking about that you should warn the adults on the children? Why is it specifically by the Kohanim? And why the Lashon of Emor? Why is it Rach? Why is it gentle? Section 2, Sviras HaOmer. A lot of questions in Sviras HaOmer. Why is it called Sviras HaOmer? Because the Karban HaOmer, I understand, but why is that? Well, that's the name, Sviras HaOmer, because of the Karban HaOmer. It's a tenth of an eifa, shkoyach, great. And furthermore, why are we counting up? And why does the Rambam say it's a mitzvah doraisa? Lamdisha question, but we'll hopefully get it. And the last question is that medrash that the Torah brings, that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So I just want to bring out the Yisod, and now I'm going to talk about my grandmother, my Babi. And last week we spoke about relationships. And we spoke about this very hard concept that a relationship is where you get out of yourself and you look to the other and you try to give as much as you can what the other wants, not what you think they want, but really what they want. And I remember my grandfather, Rav Chaim Zev Bamzer, Ovo Shalom, said at me and Chani's wedding that it takes teamwork to make a dream work. And that was quoted at the Levaya of my Bavi, because the relationship, and this is what everyone has been speaking, we're going to talk about a lot of different nekudas, what she was about, but the relationship that she had with my grandfather, and they were such a team. They were together with everything. They loved each other so much. My grandfather used to make so many jokes and repeat, say the jokes. My mother actually told me, she once said, "Ma, you know all these jokes. Why are you laughing?" And she said, "You know why I'm laughing? Because your father is so funny." And they had such a love for each other. They were the pinnacle of what a relationship is. And Suri said at the Levaya that Bobby treated my grandfather like a king, and he treated her like a queen. And it was just, they just kept on giving. There was so much love. And that's what they were about. This love, doing everything together. They were a real team. A real team. She was the pinnacle, as my mother said at the Levaya, she was a pinnacle, Eishes Chayil Miimsa. Always standing behind my grandfather. Always being there for everyone. For everyone. Her house was always open, always flying with friends and people. And I remember going there, you know, for Pesach before we went with my grandparents to the hotels where my grandfather was a scholar in residence. And always people coming in and out. And she was, you know, I remember being in OT when they were doing a yahrzeit for my grandfather. And Uncle Josh spoke, Gevaldik speech, I remember. And then Rabbi Lubin got up and he said that my grandfather was the rabbi of the rabbis. He just had it down. His relationship with people and gave over amazing drushas. He was the rabbi's rabbi. And my grandmother, my Bobby, was the Rebbetzin's Rebbetzin. And she used to come to shul. And she used to daven. And she would be there for people. And people liked her. And she laughed. She was just a happy person. Always so happy. And it started at the top with the relationship of both my grandfather and my grandmother. And they loved each other so much. It was so clear. It was anyone, if anyone met them, they would see it literally in 5 seconds. The love that they showed to each other, how they loved each other, jokes, and they just loved each other. And I remember 2 years ago, we went into America, me and my family, right? That family, right? You come in with 7 kids on an airplane, and they always make those jokes. You know, it's hard because I don't have a crowd, so I don't know if I'm really being funny or not. And whatever, most people tell me I'm not so funny. I get that, it's okay. My kids tell me that. I was learning with my shir, the Zoom. And I'm like, whatever, not so funny. My kids tell me, I'm not so, okay, whatever, it's okay. You can't win with all. But, so, we went to America. I don't even know what I'm saying. We went to America. And we were going to visit all the grandparents. And again, I don't drive so much. Baruch Hashem, my father's a tzaddik. Drives me around with my kids. Borrows big vans to get us in. And we were going to visit my my grandmothers, all the grandmothers. And I remember getting to the Nautilus, and Bobby was so excited to see everyone. And she knew all the girls' names. It was unbelievable. And every, you know, me and my wife are a little outdated, but my wife, very organized. Halavaya, she'd be so organized. Every single Hanukkah and Purim, she sends out pictures. I don't know if people know, there's something called that you could develop film. You could develop pictures, and then there's something called the mail, not email. I know in Israel, email is mail. But no, there's something called the mail, the doar, and you send it out, and people get a picture, a real picture. Unbelievable. And my wife sends it out all the time. She sends it out to the family. And when we got to the Nautilus, every single picture was there. And, you know, she was going through it with us, and, you know, we were showing pictures of... And she would always ask whenever I would call her on the phone, "So how are your girls?" And then when we finally had a boy, Chaim Zev, named after Zaidi, right? "And how's your boy?" Right? Because it was just the love that she had for her children, which we'll talk about in a second, but the love that she had for her grandchildren and her great grandchildren, and she has a lot, can I know her? It's a very large family. But she knew every single person, every single one of my kids' names. You know, sometimes I don't even know their names, you know what I'm saying? And she knew every single one. Because she had this love. At the Levaya, Uncle Gedalia said that it was 7.5 years. Zaidi was nifter 7.5 years. And he really thinks that there's a correlation between the Daf Yomi being 7.5 years preparing. Bobby's a she was a very strong lady. Everyone knows she was a very strong lady, and she waited 7.5 years. And I remember that I was once walking with Zaidi, and Zaidi told me that he was able to finish. He took upon himself. He had a mission. I think I once spoke about this before. I don't remember when I speak about. But he had a mission that he was going to finish Shas in a year. He'd finish Shas many times. He had his Masechtas that were his favorite, Beitza and Kiddushin, and he was going to finish Shas in a year. And to finish Shas in a year, you do the math, is 7.5 blot every day. So I turned to Zaidi. I mean, I don't know if I ever told the story. Maybe this is a story me and Zaidi. I don't know if I ever told anyone the story. So I turned to Zaidi and I said to him, "Zaidi, first of all, how in the world did you do that? 7.5 blot a day is a lot of blot. You know, people do Daf Yomi. I'm doing the Daf Yomi. Halavai one day, finish us, right? And that takes a lot of time. But do 7.5 blot a day?" So he told me, he looked at me and said, "I only did it because your grandmother was behind me. And Bobby ran everything. She got all my phone calls. When I was learning... And I had a mission to do, I think it was a yurtzeit either for his father or his mother. And I had a mission in my mind, I'm doing this. And I would not have been able to do it without Bobby." And he said, "I wouldn't have been able to do anything without Bobby." And that's Poshet Pshat. In their relationship, they were a team. They were together. There was no... You know, I just heard a shiur on Torah Anytime. And on Torah Anytime, the speaker, I think maybe Reuven Epstein, very good speaker. He's interviewing a lot of famous people, and he's having a whole podcast, a whole thing. And someone asked him, and I think this is so apropos, someone asked him, "You know, you're so busy, and you're giving speeches there, and you're giving speeches there." And someone turned to his wife and said, like, one of you know those questions you shouldn't ask, but you ask it, you know? And someone asked his wife, "Do you ever, like, feel secondary? Like, do you ever, like, feel like, why is my husband so out there?" And he looked at that person, and this is the same thing with Zaidi and Bobby. He looked at that person, And he said, and she looked at that person and said, what do you mean? I'm number one. Since I'm number one, every other thing, okay, he spends a weekend and he gives drushas, or he's dealing with a congregant, or he's dealing with this, or with that. I'm number one. There's no problem. And that was the relationship here. She's number one. Bobby's number one. Zaidi's number one. And that was a give and take, what I was talking about last week. It was 100%. I was once talking about this in Eishet Torah. I think it might have been 2 years ago. And I was talking in Eishet Torah, and a guy gets up, and he's got the long hair and the whole thing. And I was talking about it, and he said something profound. I didn't know what was going to come out of his mouth. You know, the shiur was doing well. It was like 10, 12 guys. The guys were getting into it. And all of a sudden, he stands up, like, oh, God, what's going to be with this? And he's like, I once heard that if everyone gives not 50 and 50, but 100 and 100, then it's a best relationship. And I said, you know what you're saying is awesome. And that's true. And that's what they all were about. Again, we got to answer some of these questions, but I'm going to answer these questions with some of these Yisraelis. My father told me that, again, they're having all these Zoom, everything's Zoom. Zoom is killing it. You know what I'm saying? Zoom is just killing it, the market. The market's getting killed. Zoom is the billionaire with all this. And my father said that there was a Zoom Shiva. Crazy. It's just crazy, the whole Zoom thing. It's crazy. Baruch Hashem for it. It's unbelievable. You know, the Shiurim is still going on and everything. But, you know, it's crazy. And Uncle Alan said that he was involved in getting out the names of different people that needed things for Yontif, different packages. And he came to my grandparents. Obviously, you know, the Rebbe and the Rebbe sitting in the shul. And they're giving out the names. And my grandmother turns to him and says, please sit down. You need to have a meal. You need to eat with us. Please sit down. And that's what they all were about. They're giving people that just love people. They loved helping people. And they were a team. They were mamish a team. They said on a Zoom Shiva call, just two more, so we haven't even answered the question. We're going to interrelate it. That is Hashem. That my grandfather, Zaidi and Bobby, the way they met is that my grandfather was a busboy, and Bobby was a waitress. And one time, she was carrying all the stuff, and she went to the door, and the door hit her, whatever, and it all fell down. And then Zaidi said that she's the one. She's gonna be it. She's gonna start my dynasty, me and her. And look at the dynasty that they created. You know, they would run missions together, they would go and they would help, and they were so interconnected with so many different things, so many different organizations trying to help. And they once went to go to, they once went to Russia. And I think the story was also told at the Levaya, I think, that they went to Russia. And they brought four pairs of tefillin to bring. Can you imagine, these people didn't have anything, and they went. They could have, my Bobby Zaidi could have gotten in big trouble for this. And they turned and they said, no, why do you have four pairs? So Zaidi said, because we need it for each arm. And what was said at the Levaya, so Bobby put on tefillin, Rabbeinu Tam's, right? The daughters of Rashi. Because she was a very holy lady. She was such an amazing person. Always laughing, always so happy, always wanted to see all her grandchildren, seeing her great-grandchildren, and that made her so happy. That's what she was all about. Why the double lashon? Let's just go back. We got to answer the kashas. We got a lot to do. Okay, it won't be so long, but we're going to interconnect this. Why the double lashon of Amor v'Amarta? What's it all about, Amor v'Amarta? So I saw Rav Fran says beautiful that maybe it is only talking about one person. Maybe it's talking about the Kohanim. But when the Kohanim are involved in doing the Avodah, in doing what they need to do, and not being Tomei and doing everything, Lahazir Gedolim Al Kitanim. Why? Because when they see the excitement when they see the fire, when they see that Torah is real, then it will be Lahazir al Kitanim. I'll read it. First, Hashem told Moshe to speak to the Kohanim and inform them of the mitzvah. Then he told Moshe, say it to them, to impress on them that it would not be enough simply to obey and fulfill. A higher level of performance was required of them, a type of performance that would carry forward to the next generation. When the children see the diligence, the inspiration, and awe which the adults embrace the mitzvah. The love of Torah and Yiddishkeit that Bobby and Zaidi gave over to all of their children, to the two boys, to Uncle Maishi and Uncle Gedalia, and to the four daughters, my mother, and Sippy and Esther and Suri. They saw the realness. They saw the love of Torah. They saw the love of Yiddishkeit. And more v'amarta. It wasn't just words. It was living it. That's what their life was about. Their life was about communal service. Their life was about just giving over. And guess what? They created a dynasty out of it. Look at the grandchildren. Look at the great-grandchildren. People all over and fields all over. Doing everything. Can't even go to details. It's affecting the world. All areas. Because they got the love. My mother told me that Zaidi, when he was that busboy, he had his eyes on Bobby because she was beautiful. But also he also saw how frum she was. It was a hard time. Most people, they would lose their jobs if you kept Shabbos. But Bobby's whole life was Yiddishkeit. And she davened and she loved Hashem. And she gave that over to her children. And that love was given over from generation to generation. And more v'amarta. Rav Moshe Feinstein, famous Rav Moshe, that he says that how are you going to give over to the children and to the grandchildren and your future dynasty, your future generations? Because only if you do it out of love, real love. Kids see through things. We've spoken about so many times. If you show real, and that's what they were about, real love. Again, the relationship, giving to each other 100%, the love. But then it carried through. Why Lashon Sfiras HaOmer? So where's the first time? Whenever you want to find a source to something, you have to look at the first time it says that. And you know where it says Omer? It says in Parshas B'Shalach, Parak Tav Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. You know where it talks about the Omer? By the Mon. Omer LaGogola. Says Rav Yosef Salant, one of the greats, one of the Gdolim Yushalayim. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach told Rav Yosef Salant, you have to have your drushes written down. He gave drushes in Shari Chesed. Shout out Shari Chesed. And Rav Yosef Salant says, you want to know what the Omer is about? Sfiras HaOmer. The reason is because Sfiras HaOmer represents the Mun. And what's the Mun about? Again, you can have different drushes. People say different things on this twist. But the Mun is about that every person is important. Everyone is an Oilam Malay. Sfiras HaOmer. We're counting. Where are we counting to? We're counting that every person, every day is a process. Every day is another day of excitement, of Torah. And everyone has difficulties sometimes. But every day there's something there. Sfiras HaOmer. Why does the Rambam hold that it's a Doraisa? So says the Gevaldik Aruch HaShulchan. Because we're looking at Sfiras HaOmer is a time from Pesach to Shavuos. That's a Doraisa. It's a count from Pesach to Shavuos. But it's called Omer. Why? To show the love that Hashem has given us. The Mon, no greater. Every single person got their own individual. Whatever they wanted to eat, they got at that moment. Can you imagine? That's what the Mon was. And that was where we showed the love of Hashem to us. Says the Chinuch in Shin Vav. So why are we counting up? When you count down, it's because you have one goal, to get to that final destination. If someone tells you, I'm going to give you $1 million, but I'm going to give you $1 million in a month, you are counting down days till you get to that $1 million. Of course. Anyone wants to give me $1 million? Go for it. I have a bank account, whatever you need. Okay. But if someone tells you, you know what, I'm not going to give you $1 million in a month, I'm going to give you $10,000 every day, you're going to look forward to every single day. Every day. Says the Chinuch, the reason why we count every day individually going up is because each day is a day of growth. Each day is a day that we could just work on ourselves, work on our midos. The sixth parak of Pirkei Avos talks about the 48 things that are kind of Torah. Says the Mefarshim that every day of Sfiras HaOmer, the 49 days getting to that Shavuos, according to Aruch HaShulchan, a mitzvah d'oraisa, is representing the tikkun, all those things to be kind of the Torah, each day, because each day is its own unit. And that's what we're trying to get to. Every day is something amazing. And we're in this crazy period and we're still in it. And no one knows what's going to be. Corona has taken over the world. And there's been a lot of things that come out of Corona. But there's the main idea that everyone's saying. You go out to any Torah anytime, while you do whatever it is. It's that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. And not only does the Ribbono Shel Olam run the world, the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us, and we have to remember that. Says the Torah, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. What's that all about? Because it's representing the Avos. I think I once heard from Zaidi. Zaidi said a different drasha. And he said like this, Pesach represents the idea of the starting of the relationship. Erusin. Pesach, Hashem says, you're my chosen nation, I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim, I'm going to give you a Pesach. That maybe is similar to Avraham, because Avraham found this religion, realized there has to be a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world, and the newness, it was awesome. Erusin. When a person puts on tefillin, I'm giving myself some mussar, it says, V'astich li li'olam. Why the lashon V'astich li li'olam? So I once heard from Rousseau Eisen Shlita. He said, why the lashon of Erusin? That's what we're supposed to say when we put on our tefillin. Why Erusin? Because it's fresh, newness. And then you go to the Torah, the Shavuos, which we're getting close to, only a couple weeks away. And that's the Nisuin. That is the marriage. And that's Matan Torah. And there's so many Chazals. We could have a whole shiur just on the Chazals of Har Sinai and Nisuin. And that's Yitzchak. Yitzchak is taking the freshness, the newness of the religion of Judaism and bringing the Torah into it. Making it real, perpetuating, making it, keeping it going. And then you hit the Sukkos. Sukkos represents Yaakov. Sukkos represents, as the Pasuk says at the end of Parak of Gimel, Behoshafti, that Hashem says, I'm going to give you a Sukkah. And Rashi says right here, and Sukkah and Dap Beis, and Sukkah Dap Dalet all over, that Sukkah is Anoni HaKavod. I'm going to give you that glory of Hashem. That's what it's all about. You take the Erusin, the fresh, then you bring it into the Torah, and then you bring it in to the Mishkan, the Bayis, the house. And this is the relationship. This was what Bobby and Zaidi gave to each other, because it all was in the Bayis. And I was thinking, Yaakov. Yaakov represents the Shvatim, 12. And how many children? The Bobby and Zaidi have 6. Baruch Hashem, they're all married to unbelievable people. 6 and plus 6, do the higher math. The Shvatim. winning 12 Shvatim. Because it starts with the Arison. And it goes to the Nisuin. And then it goes to the Bias. And the dynasty was created through the love of Torah, through the years Hashem that was given both from Bobby and Zaidi. And they showed it. They showed it to the children. Look, this is where we're coming from. They showed it to the children. And Baruch Hashem, we're all from leaders in all the communities, and Edison and Five Towns and Albany and Miami, all over. And the Torah has been everywhere. You know, as I said, I was once in a taxi and I was just talking to him, and I saw he knew English. I don't know, it just came up, and I said, you know, my grandparents are Bomzer, and he said, ah, Bomzer, he was my principal in BTA, and I used to go to their house and spend time. Your grandmother's so lovely and so giving, and she used to always give me food, and okay, Baruch Hashem, a dynasty was created, because there was a love of Torah, but it starts at top, when there's a relationship between two people that love each other, that have the same values, that want the Torah part of their life, that want the Yirei Shamayim, that want the Rabbanei Shalom. And it's so clear because it's at Mor Ba'amarta. You don't need to say anything, you just see it. And it was brought to my mother, and it was brought to her sisters, and it was brought to her brothers. And through that, it just went down to all the families. And I think we all could learn from this, that the more a person builds himself now in the sphere of Sa'aymer, the 48 ways, and even if you're one of my Bachrim listening to this, and you're like, okay, nice stories, okay, great. The more you build yourself now, it will help you later on in marriage. If you're married now and you're listening to this, the more you work on your relationship, it will inculcate into your children and your grandchildren. And it's not easy. It's not easy getting ahead of ourselves. We're very one-sided. You can listen to last week's parsha. Why are you tired? If you want to, no one's forced. But that's the idea. Is that the more you give out to someone else, the more especially your spouse, the greater you create it. It's just going to be a domino effect. Bezus Hashem, Amor V'Amayta. Let us take this time. The Bomzer dynasty that was inculcated into so many different families. And the Torah is just going out. Bezus Hashem, we should just realize the gifts that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us. This beautiful family. And let us just keep on growing together. We're getting closer to the Shavuos, getting closer. But if we want our Shavuos to be great, we got to prepare ourselves. Bezus Hashem, this week's parasha, the Moadim, and Mor V'Amarta, realize how holy we are and how great we are. Bonim LaHashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam is so proud of us, and he's getting so much nachas. So much nachas. We just have to believe in ourselves and believe in our Torah. And Bezus Hashem, we should only see simchas in the family. And Bezus Hashem, let's go into this week's parasha. Let's learn it up. Bring the Kedusha. Bring the Kedusha into our lives. Everyone have an amazing, amazing Shabbos.